Lord, for being so great. Again, thank you, Lord, for being so great. All right, church, God is good all the time and all the time. Do it again. God is good and all the time. Let's try this again. God is good and all the time. Good. All right. Praise the Lord. Would you take out your Bibles, please? If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we have several that are in the back. And if you just raise your hand, there'll be somebody from this church who'll scamper to go get a Bible for you. The Bible is our text. When we come to church, how many know it's not good enough to come together for a couple of poems and a nice little amen and go on your way home and eat lunch? What we're coming to church all about is we are the church. The church isn't the building. The people are the church. And we've come together to see Him, love Him, know Him, hear Him. And where He transforms us is in the Word of God. The Spirit of God uses His Word and works on us in our hearts and in our minds. How many understand that you're not going to overcome all the entertainment, all the messages that the world sends you all day long, every day, by just coming to church for an hour on Sunday morning? How many know it's good to be reading your Bible at home?
Yes.
Come on, I said it's good to be reading your Bible at home.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen. We'll get downright southern here this morning. Amen, 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 Pastor Kent.
Yes.
So we do a Through the Bible in a year reading program. And if they're out of slips back there, we have them on our website. And our website is grace.us. I just had to get that in there. I forgot that so far. GraceChristianCenter.us. We have a lot of materials on there for you, but I just urge you to open your scriptures, be in the Word of God, and let it live. Let's go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And this is our third message on the river of God. And we've talked about rivers, we've talked about wells, and we've talked about all sorts of things where we recognize that we can't live without water. Anybody in this room also understand that?
Yeah.
You can't make it without water. And so we're talking about the river of God, digging wells, and having a life-giving stream. And this morning's message is called, Keep Digging. Keep digging. Somebody say it with me. Keep digging. Okay, Genesis chapter 26. We are in a section of Israel, very contemporary, by the way. The situation with Hamas and Israel right now is taking place in the Gaza Strip right in here. And where we're dealing in the scriptures right now is we're looking at Isaac, the son of Abraham. Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessing that came upon Israel through their lineage. And so Abraham has gone down into Egypt and down into this area and lied about his wife. You remember that? Said, she's my sister, etc. 90 years later, Isaac is back in the same area, and he does what? About his wife. Lies about his wife. Good job, Dad. Great example. Anyway, so he lies about his wife, but he ends up at this area of Gerar. And so let's go to the next one, if you would, Pat. Gerar, the Philistines are in this area. And so he's in this area, and he becomes fantastically wealthy. If you recall the scripture, at the beginning of Genesis 26, there's a terrible famine in the land, and a real dearth, and a drought, and they're really having trouble. And so Isaac comes in, and he plants his seed. How many remember what the scripture said he reaped? 100-fold. He reaps, he sows his seed and reaps 100-fold. Fantastic blessing of God is on his life. And guess what you read about? The Philistines become extremely angry and extremely jealous. And so because they're jealous, they want to kick him out of their land. And the guy comes to him, the king of the Philistines, and says, you're too powerful for us. It's time for you to leave us. So what we find in today's scriptures, we're going to see he makes a trek to Esek and Sitnah, and then Rehoboth, and Bathsheba. Bathsheba. He goes to Bathsheba. No, he doesn't go to Bathsheba, Beersheba. Bathsheba's a whole other story if you remember your scripture. David went to the city of Bathsheba. It was a tough time for David. Okay. All right. Is there another one there? You have one more? Okay, so here's Israel today. And so this is where Jerusalem, Hebron is, and the Gaza Strip that's being contested over so much is over here. And you have Beersheba still existing as a community today, and you can see it in relationship with the others. Okay? Just simply puts context. Thank you so much. All right. So the river of God, we sing a song that says the river of God is teeming with life and all who touch it can be revived. A couple of weeks ago, we did a lot of scriptures, and wherever the river goes, the Bible says, it brings healing, it brings life. We want the river of God, which represents the Spirit of God, to flow in our lives, to us, through us. How many need God's involvement in your life? We need His river flowing. And so we want to give Him room. We don't want to stop Him up or gap Him up or block Him from moving. That's why we try to give room for the gifts of the Spirit to flow in this church. Lord, we're hungry for You. What do You have to say? We're here to respond to You. Amen? We'd rather respond to God. So this is where Isaac is, and he was blessed, he's favored, and remember, now it's interesting to me, just to decide, remember, we have the Philistine king coming to Isaac saying, get out of our land, you're too powerful for us. How many understand, when the presence of God is there, the blessing of God is there? The last thing you want to do is kick the presence of God away from your life. Someone say amen or oh no. Remember Joseph, anointed by God. They sold him. And he's bought by, his name is actually pronounced Potiphar, but Potiphar is how we say his name. And what happens in Potiphar's house? Blessing after blessing. He can't believe the fantastic blessing. He's there probably for about 10 years, and everything is blessed under his hand. Why? Because Joseph is there, and Joseph is blessed by God, and when the blessing of God is on, then the rest of the people around get blessed also. But these guys want to kick Isaac away. How many think that might have been a mistake? Now let's talk about this today. When the Church of Jesus Christ is here, blood-bought, sold-out, surrendered people to Jesus, His blessing, His presence is on His people. When you walk into a store, when you walk into your home, when you walk in to see your family or your neighbors, you're on your cul-de-sac, you're on your block, how many know the presence of God is there? Yes. People might not understand you. Anybody ever have that happen? I don't get you. They might not understand you, but hopefully there's something about you that they like. The presence of God. That's what the church is to bring. The blessing of God. The presence of God. But these guys are kicking Isaac away. So, what do you do? When blessing comes, sometimes people are jealous. The Philistines were jealous and they were envious. Jealousy is usually over stuff. Jealousy is over relationships most of the time. Envy is dealing with stuff. Somebody gets what I think I deserved, or somebody has a relationship with somebody that I want. And have you ever had a time, come on, be honest with me, where you've been jealous? I got 4 people talking to me this morning. Are there any other honest people in the room this morning? Yeah. Anybody ever been jealous? Yeah. Now, sometimes jealousy is good. There's a little tiny bit of jealousy where husbands and wives are jealous of one another and keep each other safe. Don't shoot it. Keeps you safe, right? Keeps you safe. Oh, honey, I wouldn't think of it. That's good. But there's a part where it goes so strong that kind of thing can lead to fury, and envy can lead to anger, and it can lead to heart problems, it can lead to cancer, it can lead to immune problems, because people are full of jealousy and envy and bitter. And if you're the kind of person, now I'll say this with you with a smile, if you're the kind of person that somebody wants to come and share their blessing, but they're afraid to because they know you won't be happy for them, but jealous of them, that's a manipulative, controlling spirit. Is that you? I said I'd say it with a smile. Hopefully that's not you. Okay, it's just a little too close to home this morning. Sometimes we're like that. Has any member of your family ever been blessed and you went, yay? Oh, you got all the inheritance? Oh, goody. You want to share a little? Yeah, you know, in my case, I ran out of family to pass on inheritance. I'm just stuck, right? So anyway, so the point is, they were jealous of him. And then they didn't want him near them. The devil cannot live and mix in with the presence of God. When we worship God, how many understand God does a lot of things through the room? He'll deal with sin. He'll deal with other attitudes. He'll set you free and deliver you, because the devil doesn't like to live in the presence of God. Someone say amen or oh no. But sometimes people react and we're confused by what happens. Stupid stuff sometimes. Stupid stuff. Can you say that with me? Stupid stuff. And that's what they did with Isaac. They kicked him away. They said, get out. Now, I want you to see what Isaac responds like as we go through this section of Scripture. Number one, redigging Abraham, his father's well. Redigging Abraham's wells. Verses 17 through 20. Genesis 26, 17 through 20. Then Isaac departed from there, because they kicked him out, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. How many know it's a stupid thing to cover up a well in a desert place where wells are desperately needed? But they were jealous. So they filled in these things with, we talked last week about silt and earth and sometimes dead carcasses of old bodies, not people, but animal bodies. They'd throw them in there because that would make the water unclean and they wouldn't want it. So they stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. So Isaac, let's just talk for a quick moment. Isaac had to reestablish the victory that his father had established. When you dug a well or anything in antiquity and you named it, that meant you were in control, you were in charge. And the people all around started calling it by the same name that Abraham named it. That meant he was the guy in charge. Now, in that area of the world today, they still try to steal wells. And if they can take the well away from you, they'll change the name. And that way you can't point back to who the original owner was because the name's all different. So what does Isaac do? He goes back and he reestablishes the victory in the Lord. Now hang in there with a quick perspective for today. How many ever heard of Martin Luther? What did Martin Luther do? He saw a revelation that was in the Scripture all along. Revelation of justification by faith. I'm saved by faith through grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, by His blood, not by my works alone. And he staples or nails 96 theses on the Catholic Church door. Now, there are a lot of loving Catholics. I'm not here to knock Catholics. This is just what was unfolding in his day. So he knocks those theses on the door, and he had no intent of leaving the Catholic Church, but they kick him out. And he helps to start the Reformation. How many ever heard of Tyndale or Gutenberg? Remember the printing press? You know why he developed the printing press? You know what the first thing was printed off the printing press? The Bible. And he wanted to put the Bible in the hands of people who could read it. And guess what? The priesthood had a conniption fit. And that was a bloody war. People died over the fact you have a Bible in your hand this morning. They fought and died for that because the priesthood thought, well, you'll mistreat the Word of God. You won't understand it. And guess what? They were the ones mistreating the Word of God. The Anabaptists. Anybody in this room ever hear of the Anabaptists? Anabaptists had a fresh revelation of water baptism by immersion. Not a baby baptism from a child who doesn't know but is covered by his parents' faith or her parents' faith, but an immersion where you understand I've given my life to Jesus as an adult or as a son or a daughter who's old enough to know I'm surrendering my life to Him and I'm following Him into the waters of baptism. Bloody, terrible, horrible thing, because it was a fresh revelation of what had been in the Scripture all along. Faith of our fathers, faith of our mothers, people who've gone generations before us that we sometimes get casual about. The apostolic doctrine. You go to Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, and what does it say? The apostles laid foundation and framework, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do, what? How many have all of those teachings and truths down pat? You know them forwards and backwards in your life. And he's saying, I believe it was Paul who wrote Hebrews. There's some discrepancy on that. Some people say differently, but I like to think that. Anyway, the point is, the writer says, these are the elementary principles. So we get in and we study the Word of God and we apply the Word of God to our lives and we redig the wells of our fathers and our mothers who have gone before us in the faith, so that truth is something in our own lives. How many understand Isaac needed to reopen those wells and get them freshly flowing in his life again? Are there some wells in your life that you need to redig again? Some people sometimes walk away from faith. They walk away from the Lord. We see it happen. People come to youth groups in high school and go off to college and they say they lose their faith and different things, and some people never to return. They're burned by the church, etc., etc., etc. Listen, what this is all about is a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing His Word and having His Word written on our hearts and our minds. And I got radically saved when I was 16. Now, I grew up going to church. I was the youngest of three kids. Grandfather was a preacher, never knew him. He died before I was born. But I did everything but go to church. Couldn't stand going to church. Mom drugged me along. Couldn't stand going to church. Mom drugged me along. But guess what? When I gave my life to Jesus, made a whole difference. All of a sudden, the Bible started making sense. All of a sudden, this whole thing started making sense. Before I was saved, man, all I wanted to do was get out and shake somebody's hand or avoid that and just be on my way. Faith of our fathers, faith of our mothers, principles of Christ laid in our lives. We have a program called Building Your Faith. I urge you, if you've never been through it, even if you have had teaching in your life, I urge you, get some foundation stones in your life so we can go on as the Lord permits. So there's that establishing faith. So now he does that. He digs out those wells. The water is flowing again. And what does he do? He starts to dig his own well. Say it with me. I can dig it. We talked about that last week. I can dig it. All right. Number one, water in Esek. Can you say the word Esek? That's what he named it. Let's go to Genesis 26, verses 19 through 20. Genesis 26, 19 through 20. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley. And he found a well of what kind of water there? Running water there. Fresh water there. Springing up water there. Sparkling, refreshing, life-giving water there. Verse 20, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, say it with me, please. Boom it out. The water is ours. So we call the name of the well Esek because they quarreled with him. That word quarreled in the scripture, in the Hebrew, means they strove with him. There was strife. Literally means they were grappling with him. They were wrangling with him. They strove with him. They had a controversy and they pressed it upon him. He found water that others had not found, but they were fighting with him. They were not thrilled that he had the water. Folks, sometimes when you're in the valley and you dig down and you dig into the Word of God, you dig into your relationship and into your time with Jesus, and He will help you tap in to fresh running river. Life in the Spirit. You ever find life in the Word of God? Yeah. Find life in coming to church. Find life in worship. Dig down and Jesus will give fresh life to you. But what happened? Jealousy. Envy. He kept running into it everywhere he turned. You understand that the devil does not want you to be blessed? Come on, turn to each other and say, the devil doesn't want you blessed. Now say to each other, but Jesus does. You know, this is all about that manipulation thing. And Isaac names that well Esek. And actually pronounced Asek. And it means quarrel, contention, strife. Life sometimes is frustrating and it's no fair. And you dug the well after all. Doesn't seem like that sometimes. Man, I've got the bruises on my knuckles. I've got the sunburn on my neck. I was the one out digging the well. Who do you think you are to take this well? What do you mean pushing me away from the blessing? Anybody ever have that happen in your life?
Yeah.
Quarrel. Contention. That's not yours. It's mine. dealing right now in a situation where there's a big division in a situation, and one member says, "The money's mine." The other member says, "The money's mine." And I'm saying, "Really? Well, let's see what the Lord says about this." Actually, what I say to that is, I've got to get some counsel. Quarrel. Strife. Now, this is interesting. The enemy sends trouble when you're out to get life. Watch. Number two, water its sitna. Do you say it with me? Sitna. Genesis 26, verse 21. Then they dug another well. Isn't it interesting? Isaac just moved on down the road. Children of the 60s will recognize the refrain of a song in there. Head on down. Anyway. Genesis 26, verse 21. They dug another well. And they quarreled over that one also. They quarreled over that one also. And this is a different word than the strife of the previous verse. They digged, they delved into, they explored, they looked, and they tried to find more water, and all they got for their trouble was more controversy, more wrangling. Wait a minute, all I want to do is get some life. How come, Lord? How come, if you're leading me, what I'm getting is trouble? Now that's honest. How come, if I'm following you, what I have is trouble? Now you understand, don't you, that when you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't sign up for just Easy Street? You know, I love the song, "Living on the Sunny Side of the Street," but you understand it's not always sunny on our side of the street. The rain, the Bible says, falls on the just and on the unjust. Life is real. We're real people in this congregation. You got real problems, and sometimes, my friends, you got trouble. Trouble. Trouble right here in River City. That starts with T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for... Okay. So what do you got? You got trouble in life sometimes. Listen, if all of life was easy, why would we need Jesus? Anybody in your life have anything going on that takes you to your knees? Anybody? Man, oh man, oh man. Sometimes I'm sitting there, I just bow down at my chairs. And God, you got to help me here. He looks at me and goes, "Just chill. I got this. I'm kind of a passionate guy. You got to help me, Lord. Just chill." But listen, that's what brings me to Him. I would love to say, I just go run into Jesus every day because life's always fun. It's always a blessing. It's always good. I'm sorry, that doesn't always cut it for me. Does it you? So what do we do? He goes on. He goes, "I'm following you, Lord, and I just dug another well, and I got water, and it's great water. It's clear, it's clean, it's running, it's free. Man, oh man, it's great. What do you mean I got problems again? What do you mean I got a tile guy who won't leave?" Listen, this scripture here in the Hebrew, the word about them quarreling with him, is so much stronger even than the last one. It means to resist, adversarial. They were enmity, at enmity with him. Literally, there was hatred. And the scripture uses a word called Satan. So Satan, not only a being, but that Antichrist spirit that comes against your growth in the Lord and against your walk in the Lord, that thing that throws that kind of hatred and enmity your direction, is a satanic situation. The first one is a quarrel, strife, frustration. This one continues down a bitterness road. You ever known anybody that just lived to pick a fight with you? I'm asking a lot of questions. That's not because I just read it in a book. I've had that in my life where, you know, you're sitting there and praying just before you have an interaction with somebody. It's nobody here. So don't look around and go, "Is it me?" It's not any of you. But you pray, "Lord, help me have victory." And I had a situation once with a person where every time we got together, they wanted to pick a fight. And no matter how much I, you know, fast and pray since breakfast, you know. Fast and pray, and God, give me the victory. And it was just everything I could do to bite my tongue. And the Lord allowed that person in my life to show me that I didn't have it together, that I needed Jesus a lot more in my life, and I needed to be a lot more consecrated to him to become more like him. Now, I'm honest with you. Anybody else in this room go through that? You're quiet this morning. Maybe this is all just a little too close to home, but this is where the rubber hits the road. And I'm here because I need him. I hope that's why you're here. And sometimes people want to pick a fight and they just hate you. I told you the story before where I had somebody in the community here. Said, that man can't be a pastor. You know why that man can't be a pastor? I heard this from somebody. He can't be a pastor. He's a realtor. And you look up in the definition in the Webster's Dictionary under realtor, it says satanic. And no, it doesn't. Devil himself. No. But, you know, listen, I will tell you one thing. That man who's that realtor can't be a pastor if he won't surrender himself to Jesus. And he better do his best to live it. And he tries hard. So you pray for that pastor because he's talking about me. But have you ever had somebody in your life just, whoa, I hate you?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, guys, we need to be wise enough to understand that sometimes the scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Sometimes the spirit of God in you causes a demonic spirit in someone else to react. Have you ever been in a scenario where somebody took your head off and you're walking away scratching and go, what was all that about? I thought I was a nice guy. And then all of a sudden you're examining everything you ever thought and did and where you even were born. Maybe I wasn't born there. I don't know. So, you know, it's just a demonic spirit that would come to rip you apart. And we need to understand that Isaac had some stuff he had to go through before he could go get his own well. Track with me, please. God is allowing some of us in this room to go through problems in our lives, not because he's against you or me, but because he wants us to have the experience of finding him in that place of frustration where he's big enough and he's strong enough and he's able to defend us and help us. This was even stronger than the first time. Watch this. What do you do? How do you handle it? Like Jesus did. Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. No matter how agitated I might get or upset I might get at somebody being upset at me, I didn't give my life on the cross like Jesus did. I'm not going through that much. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart, it says out of the New American Standard. Out of the Message, when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility, he, meaning Jesus, plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I love it. In this all-out march against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. New Living, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not yet given your lives in struggle against sin. Turn the other cheek. Cost something. Can you all say with me, real loud, ouch!
Ouch!
Sometimes it happens. And Jesus asks us to be like him. It helps us see how much we need him. When you get bumped by somebody, knocked by somebody, spiritually speaking, does fury or blessing come out? Because I want to share one thing with you here. No matter how badly they treated Isaac, you don't read anywhere in the scripture that he closed his wells back up. He left them running good water wells as he moved on. So when he was bumped, he blessed. Lord, help me grow. The altar areas are open. God, keep the river flowing. Help me keep blessing, even when people don't want to bless me. So then he goes through his experiences, keeps his spirit right, and what happens? Number three, he finally finds a home at Rehoboth. He kept moving. He trusts. He digs. He keeps right on digging Verse 22, and he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. We shall be fruitful in the land. In the Hebrew, that word means space, wide, broad, room, making room. The Lord opens the doors. The Lord blesses here, and he guides him to this place. And he's now giving him a place, now that he's allowed the Lord to work with him. He brings him to a place of victory where he says, now you're going to have opportunity to bring forth fruits in your life. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let me teach you a couple simple principles. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Say that with me. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Say it again, real loud, please. Boom it out. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Out of the New Living, it says, let the peace that comes from Christ, please boom it out, rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the peace of God, literally in the Greek it means, let the peace of God rule as an umpire in your heart. The Greek word literally is to arbitrate, to govern, to prevail, like an umpire. The ump does what? What does the ump do? You pitch that ball and the ump goes, strike! Or ball. Right? So, the umpire, the peace of God, is one of the most important ways to know the guidance of God. When you've surrendered your life to Him, you start to go down a road, and all of a sudden, the umpire in the Spirit is saying, steer right, stay away. Don't go down that road. You ever have that? Call it red flags, call it intuition, whatever you want to. The Lord's trying to keep you alive sometimes. And how many know when you hear that voice going, stay away from that, and you keep going, usually what happens? Trouble. 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 My friends, and anyway. Trouble. If I'll listen to God, He'll keep me from it. So let the peace of God rule as an umpire in my heart. He wants to bring me to this place that's a broad space where I can bear fruit. And if I'll listen to the ump guide me, I'll be able to. I told a story before, just real quickly, about a river. I think it was the Mississippi River. Bob Mumford told this story a long time ago in one of his books. There's this treacherous spot in the river where it is so treacherous, sandbars and everything on either side, that the ships who have to go up, they wait and they position themselves on the river in such a place that there are three lights. And when they all line up as one light, and all you see is one light, that's when the ship knows you can go up safely to navigate that river. Life is like that, and God will guide this. The Word of God, there will be three lights that guide us. The Word of God, is it according to the Scripture? Or is it contrary to the Scripture? If it's contrary to the Scripture, you don't need a voice when you got a verse. Right? You don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you separately, indistinctly, no, don't do that, when the Bible says, no, don't do that. Okay? So is it according to the Word of God? Secondly, do the circumstances line up? And thirdly, does the peace of God rule in your heart? And if you've got peace and circumstances are in line and it's according to the Scripture, many times you know that's a safety for being able to go up. And Isaac kept going and kept digging. And he overcame strife and he overcame hatred and he overcame bitterness. And he went on and he found pure, fresh, clean water. It's fantastic. Isaac's obedience releases God's blessing. Genesis 26, look down please to 23 through 33. I'm going to highlight some of these verses, but 23 to 33 of Genesis 26, verse 23. Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him, the Lord. Now, so he's gone through the strife. He's gone through the hatred. He's responded to God. He's moved on. Now he's sunk another well, and he's found a place of blessing in the Lord. So he goes up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appears to him. God meets you in a fresh way. Sometimes after the conflict in your heart and soul, and you've met with God, and you've knelt down, and you've sought His Word, and you've stayed faithful to Him, God will show up and speak to your heart. And He said, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. I'm with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Now, interestingly, as a little aside, verses 26 through 30, the Philistines finally realize how blessed this guy is and how much they need the blessing, and they go meet up with him. And you read in the Bible there where Isaac looks at him and goes, what are you guys coming to meet with me for? You hate me! And then they sit down, they have a meal together, and then they leave. They recognize the blessing of God is on the man of God. Sometimes people will resist you, but if you're walking in the presence of the Lord, men and women, they will know the presence of God is on your life. Can't always put their finger on it. So now they're saying, you're now blessed of the Lord. So Isaac has a feast with them, but then it goes on, 32. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came. The same day. He's passed these tests. Philistines now have come. They've eaten with him. They've gone their way. After they go, look what God does. Same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug and said to him, please boom it out with me. We have found water. So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. And that means literally the place of an oath where you can make things plain. God's taken him through tests, and now he's made things plain to him. How do you respond? Some of you in this room, I just know by the Spirit of God, are fighting situations in your life where you don't know why people are treating you the way they're treating you. Where you don't know why circumstances are the way they are. Where it's pretty frustrating. And you go, I just don't get it. But the Lord is here to say, if you're His, He's got you. Even when you don't get it. And He's with you. And if you'll keep moving on and keep digging your well, you keep in the Word of God, you keep in prayer. You keep gathering together with His people. He's got peace for you. He's got a place of provision for you. He's got a place where there's great fruitfulness coming to your life if you'll allow Him to work in your life through the test. How many want to dig wells and get fresh water? Lord Jesus, we pray today that You will have free reign in our lives, even as You take us through these situations, sometimes that are so uncomfortable and we just hate them. But Lord, we know You're using them to make us more like You. So today, we're here to surrender to You. Lord, take Your liberty, won't You? Keep conforming us, transforming us, and making us what You want us to be. And all who agree with that prayer, please say, amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, musicians? Will you come? As we come to a close, let me teach you just one more little quick principle. I don't want to distract you as we close, but sometimes the Lord knows we're going through situations that are testing. And it feels like people want to kind of strike out, whether it's verbally or whatever. There's a simple principle. Let me just try to teach you one simple word, four-letter word. Duck. Duck. If you'll keep your spirit right before the Lord, people that get agitated for the wrong reasons or when there's an issue that's just strange, just spiritually, if you will, duck. And you, instead of striking back, will allow the Holy Spirit to go to work on that other person or that other situation. We're not duking it out with people. Remember, God's in charge. He's teaching us how to be more like Him. Can you say amen or oh no?
Amen.
So let's go to the holy place. May I stand, O Lord, in this holy place. Hopefully, as we've learned about the river of God and the water of life, there's been something that's been a strength to you as we've gone through these the last few weeks. And Father, we thank you for the moving of your Spirit and the wells of life that spring up. Thank you, Lord, that you water us with living water. And that, Jesus, you transform us as we continue to grow and go day by day. We surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a word of prayer with each of you who have come. And for the rest of you, if this is the time that you depart, I pray that you go out with joy and the anointing of Jesus. Go keep digging your wells. Find fresh life in the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We invite you back next week, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. Amen.